is Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Screen View Show, and join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
And welcome to Screen View, episode 36, October 4th, 2012. With me, I have John Denny and Amy Morgan. And how are you guys doing this week?
We're great.
I'm doing very good.
Good day. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Fun yep. stuff, right? Fun stuff. Well,
let's... Absolutely.
All right. Well, we can get started, I guess, to talk about... Hotel Transylvania beat Looper by essentially like double, which is kind of...
Yeah, that's because it's a kid's show.
Yeah.
Everybody took their kids to go see it. That's how come it, you know, got better.
Hotel Transylvania raked in $42.5 million for the weekend. So that gave it more than the $20 million that Looper made. And John, you pointed this out, interestingly enough, in the before the show, that Looper only cost $30 million to make.
I had to bring up all my talking points off camera.
Yeah.
So that we can bring it up during the show.
Exactly. Exactly. $30 million. That's kind of crazy. That's,
stars and... You got to figure out the action is, you know, obviously there's going to be some kind of explosions and, you know, all the special effects that goes with that. You'd think it would cost a little bit more than that, but...
Yeah.
I guess...
Although it's
they can make it go a long way anymore.
I mean, it's definitely like an indie flick, though.
Yeah.
They said that essentially once I read it, I forget where I read it specifically, but once Bruce Willis was signed on, they thought, yep, we can make this movie now, because now that Bruce Willis is on there. Essentially, even though Joseph Gordon-Levitt at that point, you know, he's a big-name star. He can still make money. He can still kind of draw it, but Bruce Willis...
You can't make Bruce Willis money.
Yeah, you can't make Bruce Willis money. Last week's number one movie, End of Watch, made $7.8 million, but it only cost $7 million to make, so, you know, it's all good.
How hard can it be to make a movie that's about cops in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Street cops in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and essentially they just put on go cams on into the car and then just...
It's cops. It's 2 hours of cops.
2 hours of cops.
What you gonna do?
Exactly. Trouble with the Curve, number 4. House at the End of the Street, number 5. Pitch Perfect. What? Pitch Perfect.
It's a...
It's kind of like a Glee type of show, yeah.
Great.
Apparently, according to the... I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Amy.
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, that's fine. More about it than I do. All I saw was a trailer. I went, oh, that's what that's about.
Yeah, I mean, it's about a college singing competition, and that's most as I know. But I thought it was interesting, if it's true, that the cinema score was an A. I guess people that really like that kind of stuff really like the movie.
Well, it somehow cost more to make than End of Watch, so it must be good. Finding Nemo, number 7, Resident Evil Retribution, is at $2.986 million.
Didn't we see something called this before? I mean, I actually looked at a trailer for that and went, man, this kind of looks like the last movie. They just re-released the same one?
I think they're all the same.
They all look pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And this one has a lot of the actors from the first couple movies.
It's all the same.
They're back. Yay.
Yeah, back from the dead.
And then they brought in Leon Kennedy.
Yeah, from Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, he looks like the Resident Evil 4 version. Let's see. Number 9 is The Master, and number 10 is Won't Back Down.
Cool stuff.
So this weekend, another fun, scary-type kiddie movie, Frankenweenie, which is... about a kid who lost his dog, and then he brought the dog back to life, and then hilarity ensues because, you know, various body parts of the dog fall off.
They better hope this makes a lot of money, because they've been advertising the hell out of it, at least up here.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Tim Burton movie, right? So,
at least it wasn't, Pet Cemetery.
And then obviously the one that other, so parents will take their kids to Frankenweenie, and the guys will go watch Taken 2 to watch Liam Neeson just kick the crap out of everything that moves.
Watch Liam Neeson be Liam Neeson?
Yeah. Yep. Apparently, well, Liam Neeson post like 60 years of age, right?
Yeah.
Or however old he is nowadays. But he used to be the guy, you know, we were talking about this a little while back, where he just used to be this Academy Award winning actor who plays some really serious, deep roles. And then as soon as he hit about 55 years old, he just started kicking the crap out of everything.
He's going through a midlife crisis. Don't give him a hard time,
man. Oddly enough, Taken 2.
He'll knock on your door and he'll start punching you.
Yeah, he's just going to start punching things. It's going to be ridiculous.
Well, there's one movie that came out this weekend that I wanted to mention, too, while we have a chance to. My husband and I went to go see a movie called Solomon Kane. Now, this movie's been actually out since 2007. It's only been in the UK. And because of that, it has, well, I guess they've been having some problems with getting it over into the US market. And so finally they did a couple of years later, right? So my husband and I went to go see it. It is only playing on a select few screens, and it was the only one here in Phoenix, and as far as I know, in Arizona. And so we went to go see it. I was actually very happy with it. I thought it was done very well, and so I wanted to plug it into the podcast real quick. And
the name sounds familiar. What's it about?
It is about a guy who is he's like a captain, a warrior type of guy, and it's set like in, what is it, the 1600s? Yeah, the 1600s, and he basically he's pillaging and doing all of this stuff, and at the very beginning, and he goes to this castle in Africa somewhere, and basically meets the Grim Reaper, who wants to reap his soul for the devil, and it scares the heck out of him, and so he renounces his evil, violent ways to, you know, protect his soul, obviously, because he doesn't want to go to hell. And he hides in this monastery until the monks say, oh, we can't hide you anymore. You have to go back to the land of your birth. And he's like, oh, I'm going to die if you kick me out. And anyhow, so they say, well, sorry, it has...
Offer you a ride. The road ahead should not be traveled alone.
Bro.
Solomon.
The devil. They don't want you talking about Solomon Kane.
Okay. I know. Select theaters means don't talk about it.
Yeah. That's why I said select theaters. Don't talk about it. Oh, no. We totally lost her. We totally lost her. It's such a limited release that it's not even tracked at all. That's how limited it is.
Well, like four theaters or something?
I mean, even in this... Even in this, on this, the Box Office Mojo site, they track everything, essentially.
Yeah.
As low as one theater. There's this, it was essentially, the film was ranked 112. There's a film called Branded that was ranked 112 last week in the U.S. box office. And it made $24 this past weekend.
Two people?
It literally had two theaters last week, and this week has only one theater. So two people the entire weekend watched this movie.
That's awesome.
And Solomon Kane is not even listed here.
I'm back.
Yeah, you're back.
What happened?
It's a conspiracy
Did I drop
theory.
And you guys stay?
It's a conspiracy theory. You should have been talking about Solomon Kane.
Yeah,
I know. The devil wants to take my soul now.
Peter said he's not even convinced this movie exists because they're not tracking it at all.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So it's...
Okay, so... Do you want me to start back up? Or...
No, you can continue.
Okay, I'll finish up what I was... Basically, he stays... of this family, and they are found on the road by some bad guys, and they attack them, and they take the girl, the daughter. They had a daughter that was really sweet and innocent and all pure, and he basically spends the rest of the movie trying to save her. And in the end, it turns out that the devil was still hunting him, and to get his soul back, he has to save the daughter, because the dad that he was, you know, the family he was with, the dad said, "If you can, save my daughter, you'll save your soul." And so, it was actually really well. I mean, really, really done, really well done. It was an old story that was written back in the 1920s, something like that. Mm. And like I went and did all this research afterwards, and the cinemagraphics were really, really nice. It had a very old feel to it. Like, they actually did tell a story, and the pacing was very, very well done. It built up right in the right places, and had the quiet moments, like the before they had the big, you know, the big bad hit and everything. So it was just, it really had that kind of old school kind of movie feel to it, in the sense that they actually did tell a story, and you actually did get to the point where you're like, wow, I really care about this guy Solomon, and I care about these people that he cares about. And there are some religious overtones to it, but it's not like they're cramming it down your throat. You're like, oh, too much. No, it was just a very nice, they hit all of the elements in exactly the right way to make it very satisfying. So in the end, I really, really liked the movie, and I was like, wow. And that wasn't out in the U.S. until now? It's like, dang, man. I hope these guys can, you know, make their money back at least. So,
who's in it? Anybody we know?
No. Yes. That's a good question. You asked that, and I don't even have it in front of me.
That's. I mean, I didn't know.
So James Purefoy plays.
James who?
Purefoy. He was the guy who plays Solomon Kane. Essentially, he's best known for his role in Rome, Mark Antony.
Oh, yeah. Ever watched it?
The father, though, was really, he was also somebody important.
Max von Sydow.
Oh, Max von Sydow, yeah.
Yeah, he's the...
He's been in a lot of stuff.
He was in another movie about death trying to find him and take his soul away.
About Flash Gordon.
Back in the... No, it wasn't Flash Gordon. It was like back in like the 40s or 50s, called Seventh Seal. Oh. Actually, if you've ever seen Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, when they're playing Death in all the board games, The idea for that movie came from the movie The Seventh Seal, where Max von Sydow plays Death in a game of chess for his soul.
Oh, God. Wow. Interesting. Crazy. Also, Alice Creech, she was in there as well. She played the Borg Queen on Star Trek Voyager. And I think the movie as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Pete Postlethwaite. He's a pretty big name actor.
Yeah.
Although he's dead now, but that doesn't change the fact that
he's dead?
Yeah, he died right after Batman... Rises, Dark Knight Rises. Oh. Or maybe it was right after Inception came out.
Yeah, he's
been
dead since 2011.
That sucks. I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah, Steph was really disappointed.
Sad as that.
She really liked him as an actor.
Ah, that makes me sad.
Sorry.
Interesting.
Okay.
I actually liked him. Yeah. Bummer.
Okay, so
anyhow,
Solomon
so
Kane,
yes, this
if you
movie
can find
came
it,
out in 2009. Yeah.
If this movie can actually
yeah, definitely.
Actually exist.
You can actually buy it, I think, on iTunes. I mean, now that it's in the U.S., I'm sure that you'll be able to, you know, if you haven't already bought it. You know, I just got to see it on the big screen, so it was really, really good. I really liked it. So definitely plug it in there. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, do it. It's good.
I was watching Conan O'Brien there for the first time in a long time, and he had an actress on there, and she was in one of the movies, and she's in another movie, a comedy movie with Olivia Wilde and a couple other, you know, famous people. And in the interview, she said you can get a movie on iTunes, and it comes out in theaters in a limited release and then a big release. Why would they put a movie on iTunes before a big release or before any kind of release?
What movie was this? An Olivia Wilde movie?
Yeah. What the hell was it called?
Is it coming out soon?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is it coming out soon? Because I saw an advertisement.
Yeah, it was a brand new episode of Conan O'Brien.
The Longest Week?
No. It was. I'll let you know in a second. And it might not be a new movie, but they were talking about it like it was brand new.
They actually have been doing that is a new phenomenon where they're trying to do that. Kind of like in between the theaters and going out into the movie. Like the in between theaters and DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, you can get it on demand or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's called Butter. It says it came out in 2011, but they were talking about it like a...
Butter is set for... Oh, no, no. September 4th, 2011 in Telluride, which is a film festival. So it'll probably come out, but only in limited release. So they're probably just trying to get as much money as they possibly can. Holy crap, Alicia Silverstone's in this thing.
Yeah, and Jennifer Garner and Ty Burrell.
That's crazy. Yeah, it was at the Toronto Film Festival, which is Telluride.
I just thought it was like, it struck me as odd because, you know, okay, you know, it gets the name out there and people can see it, but you buy it on iTunes, it's not the same thing as, it's not the same thing for a movie as buying it, a ticket to see it in a theater.
Right. Have you ever gone to a Regal Cinema before?
A Regal Cinema?
Yeah, Regal Cinema.
Or Ritz.
What's that?
Yeah, I've been to Regal before.
They have a commercial that happened recently where they'll play the video where it's like a big
smaller
and tiny, like about this big of a television.
Yeah, I always thought that was a rail against Netflix.
I saw it as overall, you should just... It's just not right to watch movies on television versus big screen TV.
Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, that's possible.
Before we get into TV stuff, I have a question about just general TV network type question.
Sure.
Does it benefit a TV network for a show that they run to be picked up for syndication?
It benefits the production company that makes the show.
Right. But, like, it wouldn't benefit... It doesn't benefit CBS that Two Broke Girls has already picked up for syndication, right?
I guess for the buzz. It's like, oh, it's picked up for syndication, it better be good. It must be good, so they'll go watch it. I guess it's about it.
But not monetarily or anything like that?
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't think so.
I just thought it was weird, like, everyone was saying, like, I get for the fans of the show, they wanted, like, for instance, Community, they wanted to have a fourth season so it could be put in a syndication, so it can get to that episode mark. All the news that I had seen about it was like, oh, NBC is going to pick it up so it can make that final mark to get in the syndication, but, like, why would NBC do that? Why would it stick out its own neck for a show that it's not making it enough money just so it can get syndication? I was thinking about that yesterday watching TV, like, why would a network care whether or not its own show got picked up for syndication? Unless it's like a, you know, NBC, like, I can understand why maybe they would care if 30 Rock got picked up for syndication because that's it's an NBC produced show.
Right.
By Lauren Michaels. But, like, for a show that's produced out of house, it doesn't really benefit them to stick out their neck for a show to be picked up or not.
Right. Yeah. I guess... I'm looking it up now, but it's possible that...
I'm sure there's a whole kinds of, like, legal mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, they probably share some money. I mean, it has to, right? There has to be an incentive for them, or else they wouldn't air.
Right, and that's the only thing that I can think. But, you know, like you were saying, it would benefit the production company, it would benefit the actors. But in the long run, it doesn't do anything for the network. I just thought that was bizarre.
So it's on Wikipedia. It says syndication differs from licensing the show to a television network. Once a network picks up a show, it is usually guaranteed to run on most or all of the network's affiliates on the same day of the week and the same time. Some production companies create their shows and license them to networks at a loss, at least at first, hoping that the series will succeed and that eventual off-network syndications will turn a profit for the show.
Hmm.
So they'll say, oh, we'll give you a really huge cut for this.
Right.
And they'll say, okay, sure. So it's essentially what the production company that did Fringe, they essentially cut and cut and cut their production costs, like their licensing costs to Fox, in hopes that once it hits the 88, once it hits that you know, episode threshold,
mm-hmm.
that they'll make the money up when it gets into syndication.
Okay.
So they just, I mean, it's essentially zero right now, the how much Fox pays the production company to air the show. They're hoping that it'll get picked up, I guess. But speaking of Fringe, it's totally back, you guys.
I know.
It is totally back.
Did you guys
so happy to see it. Yay!
Did you guys watch the show, perchance? Did you guys watch the episode, perchance?
I watched Dexter and Homeland.
I was trying to find it on the internet before it even came out here.
Nice.
With the 2-hour time difference or whatever?
Yeah. It was like, hey, man, I know it came out back east. Not sure that it's coming out here.
My goodness.
I know. I'm bad. I'm going to hell. This is why I was watching Solomon Kane this weekend.
Right.
For your soul.
Yes.
So what did you guys... this kind of essentially just picks up right where it left off from episode 18.
3, 2, 1.
Yep.
Right? So what did you guys... what did you guys think of the episode?
Just when you thought that everything was going well for Peter and Olivia, you find out, things have gotten worse, gotten better, gotten worse, gotten really, really worse.
Yeah.
I liked it because they gave us just enough details to kind of tease us what's actually happened since the last time we saw them dig up. They had a baby. Everything was all perfect and wonderful. And they get ripped away from their baby. Oh, their whole relationship fell apart. And the thing is that they didn't even have to go into much detail about it they just gave just enough details for you to go, oh, I see exactly what happened, without like having to see all of it. They filled in all the gaps like that. And I was really, really happy with that. Stuff that happened to Walter.
Yeah.
We're picking his brain.
Yep. I found myself... It's one thing for a show to have like a cliffhanger at the end of a season and to pick up in the new season where it left off. But to have the cliffhanger like 3 episodes before the end of the season, kind of, and then pick off with the new season from that point, I found myself not remembering a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, just...
everything we've been through.
When they were saying they were looking for... I can't remember the episode. They were looking for a guy, and I was like, well, who is this guy? Like, am I supposed to know his name? And Steph was like, my wife was like, I don't know if we're supposed to know that guy. I don't remember the episode from when they went to the future last time. All the detail, like I remember the gist of it, but I don't remember all the details.
Mm-hmm.
So just little things like that kind of got to me, where it's like, I don't really remember what I'm supposed to remember. I will put you down. And then actually at the one point where Peter and Olivia were waiting outside of the safe house bunker type thing, they'd be let in by their daughter, and they had her like their heart to heart about what happened in the X amount of years that they had seen each other. I found myself kind of going, ugh.
Aww.
You know, that's, I mean, that's just the kind of person that I am, where it's like, all right, I get it. You're upset. You thought your daughter was dead. You couldn't find her. You know, blah, blah, blah. Cry, cry, cry. Let's just go on with the story. Yeah.
They gave it a moment. I mean, like, would you have rather had this moment in one episode, or have them have told that whole thing in a season?
Well, I guess what had bothered me about it was that it was like they had their conversation and it seemed like everything was resolved. Where, and it might not be.
Yeah. But
in reality, there's no way that that could be resolved that simply.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they lost their child, they thought, and he went one way, I guess it was he was continually looking for her, and she went on with her job doing what she was supposed to do. And yeah, that drove a wedge between them. And I get that, but that whole thing makes a lot of sense, but you know, it can't be resolved that easily where they can.
I think the resolution that you're talking about, kind of feel very resolved about that afterwards, because I thought, well, at least I know what's been going on since we've seen them.
Right.
What was resolved, at least for me, was the fact that now they're back together and they've got their daughter back. And that was the resolution, was that they really needed her back. And now that they have her back, yet everything is falling apart. So they've got a lot of other things still to do. But the reason why they left each other was because she was missing.
Yeah.
And now that she's back, that's the resolution that I kind of said.
But I mean, it also, I mean, it does, not everything always gets put back together and then these little parts like that. The other thing that kind of got to me, not that it really bothered me, but it was when Olivia was knocked out of the amber and was, you know, had her reunion with the daughter. I can't remember the daughter's name.
Henrietta.
Right.
Yeah.
And her reaction to me was more like, I have a child.
Yeah.
As opposed to, this is my child that I haven't seen in 15 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
That reaction definitely looks like...
And I turned to Steph and I was like, does she not remember having a kid?
Yeah, or she wasn't happy to see her or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, it was definitely a confusing face.
Right.
And then,
and I kind of chucked that to the fact that she just came out of Amber and she's been, you know, there for 20 years, something in years. Yeah.
And you certainly don't expect to see the child that you, you know, assume was missing 20 years ago.
Well, and she's not a child anymore.
Yeah.
They haven't aged, but she has.
Right.
So.
What did you think, Peter?
I thought it was good. I thought it was, they definitely had to explain at one point why they were just so cold to each other. Because if they didn't, then you'd kind of be like, why are they not being, you know, so happy with each other, kind of thing. But
right, and I get that. It's just, I mean, for people who went separate ways, in my mind, it should be like a "I'm so mad at you, you left me" screaming match type thing, as opposed to let's sit here and look at the scenery and have a heart to heart conversation.
Right. Yeah.
It was more of a let's tell the audience why we're cold to each other, as opposed to acting how normal people would act in this situation.
Right.
It was more conveying the information as opposed to acting it out.
Yeah.
Well, I think they pulled it off still.
Yeah.
Though. I mean, because I knew a lady before we moved into our home that was my neighbor, and she got engaged to a guy that she'd been married to 20 years before that. And yeah, I'm not kidding here. She decided to go back to her, you know, and she had, like, they were parents together. They separated. They were on good terms. They just, you know, she just said, I could not, we just weren't ready for each other back then. And she says, we've been basically dating again for the last 2 years. And it's, our relationship's completely different. We've had different lives. We've parented. Our kids are grown up. They've gone. And it's like, our relationship is better than it ever has been. And she got married back to him. And things worked out. Yeah. Like, I mean, still together. It's been 5-6 years, so you know that was a really tumultuous time in their life. They grew up. They've gotten over it. They're, you know.
I mean, I could just be jaded because of like the Rescue Me relationship. That's the kind of relationship I see making sense where there's a child who's missing or killed, where it's two people that generally just can't get along anymore because there's a blame or, you know, they or you know whatever their situation is. But that seems like more realistic situation to me than
right. And also because in Rescue Me they never really explained it, right? It just kind of.
They kind of did.
It was through argument.
She said that she couldn't be around him anymore because every time she saw him, she saw her son.
Hmm.
Right. It was, yeah, but they like instead of explaining it to the audience, though, it was kind of through a fight. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
They were constantly fighting on that show.
Yeah.
Well, and I kind of feel that because, like, okay, it sounds like it was Olivia's doing that. She threw herself into work, and that Peter. Emotionally, just he was so focused on getting her back, he couldn't understand why Olivia had. Why are you focusing on work? We need to find our daughter. And she's like, "I'm sorry, I can't deal with that now. I'm work, work, work." And he's like, "No, daughter, daughter, daughter." It just they you know drifted away because of that. It just seems like, and next thing you know, they're separated. They've got two different lives, and he's focused on getting his daughter, and somehow it syncs back up because they get back together. So, I mean, they're back together now because they found their daughter. Yay! Now let's save the world. It's like, hey, Peter should have said, look, all you had to do is find the daughter first, then we'll save the world. Not save the world, then the daughter.
Right.
Priorities here, priorities.
Save the cheerleader, save the world.
Save the cheerleader, save the world. Yeah!
Oh my God. Save the baby cheerleader. okay. So
ready for next episode.
Yeah, ready for
Friday.
Next every Friday. Definitely. At 9 o'clock.
Yep.
Or DVR or Hulu or whatever floats your boat.
Whatever that you find it. Get a hold of it. It's excellent. And it's the last season.
Yep.
Yeah. So final 12 more episodes and it's all over.
Yep.
So please.
Is this a 13-episode season? I thought it was a 22-episode season.
Nope. It's half season.
Oh man, that's a gem, man.
Yep.
It's already getting Mitch's replacement.
Yeah, it's getting a mid-season. But okay, so
I read the other day. Alright.
We will continue our little thing of picking a show that we have seen. Amy, Revolution, go for it.
Revolution. Well, if you haven't gotten enough of your what is this guy's name? Now my brain went
J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams. Same person who has created Fringe. You can get your J.J. Abrams over on another channel with Revolution. Basically, the world has suddenly lost all power, and it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense to all the people that are in the world that have no power. But we get an apocalyptic kind of story where this guy happens to be at the right in the middle of it, and in the first episode, you know, he has all the answers, but he also is the one that dies. So he tells his daughter, go and find his brother who just got taken because, yeah, the brother had to hold up the militia that were coming to take the dad, and then, you know, everybody had, you know, trigger fingers, so they all got in a fight because somebody could not pull the trigger. And so basically we have this nice little tale of this girl trying to go and save her brother, and she has to go find her uncle first, and she's got these people that are helping her, and one of the friends to the dad decides to go with them because he's got this little device that somehow makes little things around it have energy again, and it's kind of the questions and the little, no one knows. It's as they're traveling, they stop at a place, you know, this last episode, we stopped at a place where it somehow came on and all of a sudden things started working.
Is that magic?
It's not magic. We don't know yet. They haven't said, so I'm not going to make any assumptions of what
magic?
It is. It doesn't look like magic. No, it's like a little medallion. It's about this big, and it's got a little button in the middle that you push it, that it glows, and
it has an Apple symbol on it. It's crazy. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, it is. It's really
kidding.
No, it doesn't have it. It looks like a teardrop shape, like this.
I do buy it because it's only one button, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Got a square.
But yeah, apparently it's interesting. I wouldn't say. Let's say I watched Revolution, the first episode, then I went and watched Last Resort. And I have to say, Last Resort had me on the edge of my seat with the tension. Revolution is not that type of a show. It's more of a J.J. Abrams show where they're going to put out little things and they're going to weave little this and weave a little bit of that. And then all of a sudden things are going to start coming together. And then you're like, I can't put this show down. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I don't know how far it's going to get. I've seen three episodes now.
Yeah,
and I'm interested. It hasn't made me not want to watch it yet. So this brother,
yeah,
back, and in the meantime, thread.
Yeah, ratings have been ratings have been pretty good as well. So
yeah, good.
Doing okay, not bad.
I read a funny article about Revolution real quick. It was just saying how. I guess in the future, hedge clippers don't work anymore because they need electricity to work. And people use bow and arrows because bullets need electricity.
Well, they just don't have the they just don't have the factories to build, you know.
No, I just thought.
That
it
is
was
pretty
like,
funny, though. Yeah, yeah. That is pretty
bullets
funny.
Bullets
everything's
are,
overgrown.
Yeah,
everything is overgrown. Nothing mechanical works, but guns do because they don't need electronics, so come on.
Right.
Depends on what you're using. If you're using a taser, yes, the taser will not work.
Yeah.
But the gun will. So and there aren't that many people that know how to make bullets, so they are getting really low, which is funny. They say that, but you know what? I knew somebody, before I moved into my house, we had somebody that lived in our apartment complex that knew how to make his own bullets. So it's not that hard of a information to figure out. You just have to get to a library and read up on ammunition.
Yeah, it was like a sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
Reviewing
interesting place.
Basically reviewing the show from the commercials.
Yeah, it's actually nice. Illegal in the show. It's illegal to have a gun, other than being part of the army. So.
Yeah, the militia. Yeah. If they find out that you have a gun, there are a couple people that ends up shooting a gun off, and they go to find him, and yeah, do you have a gun? No, I don't have a gun. Okay. You want to tell us the truth now? I might have a gun.
Spoiler alert: they get dead. But
yeah,
anyway,
some people die, yo. Some people die, yo.
Okay, John. So you were not as interested in the fall. But you did watch a show that came back recently. So
yes.
Which one did you get to?
I watched Homeland. Okay. Premiered on Sunday at 10 o'clock on Showtime. Basically, it picks up not exactly where I left off. Maybe like
3 or 4 months. Yeah,
something. Yeah, 3 or 4 months later. And everything's going rather smoothly for everyone. The main character is doing he's got elected to his Senate position, I believe it was.
House.
Oh, Congressman?
Yeah.
Congressman position. And Carrie, the main female character, is out of the hospital, and she's basically doing a class where she's teaching English to people in the Middle East, as far as I could tell, or just maybe teaching English in general.
Yeah, it's just the foreigners, I guess.
But things happen, and she kind of gets sucked back in because she's the only one who can do this particular job, so she gets sucked back into the CIA. And then we find out some dirty dealings with the main character Brody and his associations with Abu Nazir, who is the terrorist faction the CIA is trying to take down. But it's really some really tense segments in the episode. I wasn't sure what they were going to do with this season. Like I was saying last week, sometimes they tend to put a show together where it seems like the story can only last for one season.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the whole premise of the show was that he was a POW in Iraq, and she found out that a POW was going to be released, who's been turned. So all the eyes are on him, or her eyes are on him, and everyone else sees him as a hero. And it comes out at the end, spoiler alert, that he has been turned. Not so much as like a Manchurian candidate where he sees a particular thing and he has to go kill somebody. It's more of a he's in line with their politics and some things that happened where he is not a big fan of America anymore. But something happens to stop him from committing a terrorist attack that would kill the president, the vice president, all these other people. But it basically puts him in a position of political power where he's going to be used. So there's a whole new aspect of this where, you know, they're trying to get him to become the vice president, or the vice president is running for presidency and wants him to be his vice presidential candidate. And he's being asked to do all this political terroristic type stuff. So it's going to be fun seeing him balance that tightrope where he's not a good guy in the show by any means. But you kind of want to see him be able to, at least I do, want to balance that out and make everything work, I guess. Although that doesn't make any sense because he's a bad guy. Yeah. You don't want to see him make it work because it's bad for the United States.
Yeah.
And then Carrie at the end of the episode is over in the Middle East, and she needs a gentleman and in other regions and has a huge smile on her face for some reason.
Yeah, she's got that, like, the tee-hee-hee grin. She's, like, she's giggling. She's like, I just need a guy in the nuts. This is so awesome. She, like, runs away.
It was so weird. Like,
it was.
I hoped it wasn't the end of the episode, but it was like, the very last thing that happened, and I was like, why is she so happy?
Yeah, she's definitely had that
smile.
She's definitely had that it's so exciting again grin. Like, she was very happy to do it again, and she was just happy to be back kind of thing.
But I'm excited to see where it goes, and it's 13 episodes, right?
Yeah, it is. I believe this season is 10. I think last season was only 11, I think. Just kind of weird. But
it started a couple weeks after Dexter started, and they both ended on the same night.
Yeah, it's definitely a the show. I mean, it was, you know, the first season was really good, and you could tell from the second season, you know, why Claire Danes was nominated to be
you
know, the best actress, and you know, David.
I mean,
Lewis
she's the good guy.
Yes,
although she's kind of flawed, and then she sees the world in black and white. There's good and there's bad.
Yeah.
But the other main character is this Brody guy, and like I said, it's like you don't want to see him succeed, but you want to see him. You want to see how he deals with these situations. I mean, he's been in a black hole for the past 8 years. So you know, going from basically a POW to possibly being the vice president is. And it's so weird because he says all the right things, and you know, I hope they go a little bit more into his past. I mean, more into his past and during his POW times this season, because, like I said, he says all the right things. You know, he seems like he's always in the right place at the right time. So, you know, hopefully we get to see a little bit more of that, but I'm not sure that we will.
I think I might have to start watching the show.
it's really good, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good show. So you should definitely pick it up. Okay, so I will pick up the American Sherlock Holmes version called Elementary.
With the British
is on CBS every Thursday. What did you say?
With a British actor?
Yeah, it's a British actor who plays Sherlock Holmes. He actually does play Sherlock Holmes, and he is British.
Oh, on the show, British?
Yeah, he does use a British accent and everything. He is like, so he is from London and yada yada. And then Lucy Liu, the new turn of on Watson, plays Joan Watson. So essentially, Sherlock Holmes.
Instead of John, it's Joan.
Yeah, exactly. Get it?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
But I'm
Yeah. Essentially, what happens is Sherlock Holmes is a recovering drug and alcohol addict, And Joan Watson is a caretaker. She's essentially is a live-in caretaker of people who do drug, who are attempting to recover from drugs. So 24/7, she's watching him and taking, you know, taking care of him and making sure that he doesn't fall off the wagon again. But what happens
she's
is
like his sponsor.
Yeah, live-in sponsor is essentially live-in what sponsor. It's like. Yeah.
And she's a girl. Woohoo! Yeah,
so for the first episode, it's only one episode. Tonight, again, it airs another episode. So essentially what happens is he's a very perceptive person, you know, like Sherlock Holmes is, of course, because... but then she was a former surgeon. She has a past, stumping, you know, yada yada. She kills a guy on the operating table, so she quits. And then she becomes a sponsor, a 24-hour sponsor. But it turns out that he essentially says, I don't need a person to take care of me for drugs. I'm done with drugs. He's like, I just experimented with them. I'm done, or whatever. But he's like, but you can help me solve crimes and stuff. So essentially that's what's happening. what does the dynamic they have is very similar, is like the beginning flourishments of a friendship. The creators have said that they will not have a relationship beyond like a partnership, like you know, Watson and Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. So whether or not that
they might not have a relationship, but there still will be tension.
Right. There's tension, like they hate each other, tension kind of thing, or a
friendship tension. Sexual kind of tension.
Oh yeah, I know what you meant by that. Yeah. But they're saying that it won't happen. There will be external tension of somewhere else, but not internally. Whether or not they follow through with that, who really knows?
Yeah, until they bring on new writers in a couple seasons.
Right.
Yeah.
What happens if they get together?
Yeah, that'd be the first thing they do.
Yeah, exactly. Or they just have a what if episode or something.
A what if episode, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of it's very CBS-y, you know, it's a very one of those you can watch it and not think about it and everything will be okay.
All people type show.
Yeah, it's just a show that you can just watch and don't have to think about it.
You could read the paper at the same time.
You can read a full blown like the Wall Street Journal, finish all of Wall Street Journal and everything, and still be able to understand what happened in the show. Kind of thing. I mean, it's sort of interesting. Only one episode in, obviously, so you can't really judge too much. But I'll keep watching it and I'll report back. Okay, so if you guys have any comments about any of the shows we talked about, like Revolution or Homeland or Elementary, please let us know on facebook.com/screenviewshow. That's it for this week. So for John, Amy, and myself, we will see you next.
We'll see ya.
See you later.
You've been listening to Screen View. Screen View is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.